duty?
Depends on who's asking.
You got something for me?
You got something for me?
Oh, you're supposed to give me an envelope or something.
Yeah, I got that. Here. This ought to take care of it.
Oh, my God.
Now, be cool. You get up against that car right now. Hold it. Go on. Right there. Don't you move. Friends of yours?
Ricardo, you got a minute?
Stay right here.
You dudes should know better than be doing business on a fossil turf. But don't you know where you are?
Yeah! Let me draw your map.
Good evening, fellas.
Freeze!
This is the Vice of Miami podcast, where your hosts, Mark and Tim, review the iconic TV show Miami Vice. Set against the backdrop of Miami's vibrant nightlife and drug trade, Miami Vice followed Detective Sonny Crockett and Ricardo Tubbs and the entire OCB team as they battled the scourge of the mid and late 80s. With its unforgettable characters, stylish fashion, and epic soundtrack, Miami Vice captured the spirit of the times and left a lasting impact on popular culture. Join us as we dive deep into the world of Miami Vice and explore the show's enduring legacy.
And welcome back, Vice fans, to the Vice of Miami podcast for show number 54. I know we're a week late. We had a little technical difficulties last week, and if we didn't have that, I had a big storm coming through here, so we would not have recorded at our time anyways. That's a little too dangerous. So here we are. We're always glad that you're joining us. We hope you enjoyed the last show covering Walk Alone. So as always, sit back, relax, grab your beverage, and I've got a Stella Artois Liberté, non-alcoholic, and enjoy the Vice of Miami podcast covering Season 3, Episode 5, The Good Color.
And Mark, this episode is written by Dennis Cooper, directed by Mario DeLeo. The original air date was October 24th, 1986, and it was the 49th episode overall in the series. And the plot summary for The Good Caller: Crockett uses a high school football star busted for distributing to catch a 15-year-old drug dealer.
And let's go over the guest stars and the co-stars. First up, we have Charles S. Dutton as Ed McCain. We previously covered Charles's bio and filmography in Season 2 premiere episode, The Prodigal Son. Check it out.
And our next guest star is Jesu Garcia as Gang Officer Ramirez, born October 6, 1963 in New York City. And he is an American actor known early in his career as Nick Corey. He began his career as an extra in the TV series Fame. Other TV appearances include The House of Ramon Iglesias, The Bronx Zoo, Murder, She Wrote, Murder One, Crossing Jordan, CSI Miami, and some movie appearances include A Nightmare on Elm Street, Gotcha, Wildcats, and most recently in 2017's This Is Christmas. We couldn't find anything about his personal life.
Gotcha was a very good movie. Awesome. Next up, we have John Spishak Jr., born December 20th, 1946, in Paterson, New Jersey. He's an American actor known as John Spencer, and he showed up as Lieutenant Lee Atkins in this episode. Spencer began his career in the series The Patty Duke Show. Other TV appearances include Ryan's Hope, Spencer for Hire, and the soap operas One Life to Live, Another World, and As the World Turns, Law and Order, L.A. Law, and most notably, The West Wing. Movies include Meteor, War Games, Far From Home, Presumed Innocent, among others. Spencer died of a heart attack in L.A. on December 16th, 2005, 4 days before his 59th birthday.
An interesting note about that is that they wrote that into The West Wing, where he played Chief of Staff Leo Garrity. They wrote that in shortly after his death.
Right.
As a nod to the actor.
Right. I think he was running for vice president, right? Or something like that. He was on the vice presidential ticket.
Yeah, I don't remember. He could have been. Anyway, next up, we have Vincent Ford Jr., born March 26th, 1962, in Jamaica, New York. And he is an American actor, also a voice actor, known as Keith Diamond, who played Archie Ellis. Notable filmography includes All the Right Moves, Cosby Show, Martin, The Drew Carey Show, NYPD Blue, CSI Miami, and his most recent TV appearance was in 2009 on Burn Notice, and most recent movie appearance was in 2010's Pig. Nothing could be found on Vincent's personal life.
And rounding out the guest stars, we have Terry Kinney, born January 29th, 1954 in Lincoln, Illinois. He's showing up as Assistant District Attorney William Pepin. He's an American stage and screen actor. Kinney, along with fellow actors Gary Sinise and Jeff Perry, founded the Steppenwolf Theater Company in Chicago. Movie appearances include A Wedding, 7 Minutes in Heaven, No Mercy, Body Snatchers, among several. TV appearances, besides Miami Vice, include Murder Ordained, 30-something, Homicide, Life on the Street, Oz, among some titles. Kinney married actress Elizabeth Perkins in 1984 and they divorced in 1988. Kinney then married actress Catherine Erb from 93 until the divorce in 2006, and they have two children. And our co-stars, we have Samuel Graham as Curtis Count Walker, Marion Griffin as Ralph Mayberry, Ray Sel Long as Luther Johns, and Ray Neiman and Remy Palacios as the Apostle members. And a little Miami Vice in the news here. We have a birthday on today, July 11th. Bruce Travis McGill from season 2's episode Out Where the Buses Don't Run. It's his 73rd birthday. Happy birthday.
And also celebrating a birthday a couple days ago on July 9th, actor Jimmy Smits, who appeared in the pilot episode Brother's Keeper as Crockett's partner, Eddie Rivera. Happy birthday, Jimmy. This episode begins with Crockett and Tubbs in a Ferrari checking out the busy streets at night. They weren't looking for anyone specific as of yet. Then they spot some dude hanging up a payphone, and this piques Crockett's interest. Tubbs says essentially it'll take Crockett a long time to cuff the perp. Crockett makes it as if he's going to make a call, and this guy asks Crockett if he is Tookie. Not sure if that's what he said. Crockett plays along, and this guy gives Crockett something. And this guy says, hey, you're supposed to give me an envelope. Crockett flashes his badge, and this guy knows the jig is up. Up pulls in a convertible some punks who look like they're about to do some breakdancing. The way they are dressed in their matching outfits, they bust up this dude's car and says he's got some nerve doing business on someone's turf. Really couldn't hear, make out the name. Tubbs strolls up, both of them flash badges and weapons, and these punks take off. Tubbs chases after one. Crockett deals with this kid. Everyone gets away except one dude who Tubbs tackles in the always present, strategically placed pile of garbage bags. It ends up, this guy is a Miami gang detective, Ramirez. Mark?
Yeah, isn't it always this thing where you're getting chased and then you finally get taken down and then you're just so happen to land on garbage, right? No matter what movie, right. What TV show.
It's that whole safety thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's probably filled with foam because, you know, broken bottles and cans and stuff would be in the garbage. Anyway, yes. Switek, we're along the riverside here after this a little bust here of Ramirez. But anyway, Switek pulls up in the stripped down Bugbuster van without Zito. Again, and he offers some chuckles with his banter to Crockett. Crockett still has this guy cuffed and shows Switek what this kid had. It's wrapped up in foil, and it was tar heroin. Switek says it's usually 80% pure, but kids are dying from it lately, so there's something going on. This kid that Crockett's got, he wants to be set free, as Crockett already has the goods on him already. This kid's name, we find out, is Archie, and he's a juvenile. He asks if he's still arrested, and Switek says, no, I'm going to take you to a party. And we can figure out where that party is, right? So anyway, nearby, Tubbs and this gang detective that he tackled named Ramirez, they're chatting about their cop history and things like that when Lieutenant Lee Adkins from the gang unit arrives. He walks up, more banter is exchanged between the three of them now, and it turns out that Vice and gang are now pretty much barking up the same tree, essentially. They're focusing on this club called the Zodiac. Gang was involved because this was a different turf of one gang, and Vice was clued in onto drug activity there by someone who works there. They further discuss how the gangs are starting to take over a lot of the high schools and even some of the elementary schools, and that one punk 15-year-old named Curtis, the Count Walker, is the leader of this one gang, and how all the gangs are tied into the tar heroin trade.
So I finished the academy 8 months ago, did 6 weeks of patrol, and the gang unit decided that I look young enough to go under.
That's right. How old are you?
23.
23.
But to the kids at 10 Miami High, just a misbehaving 11th grader.
Hey,
Lieutenant.
What'd you do to my cop?
What'd I do to him?
Lee Atkins.
Ricardo Tubbs. I had to practically resuscitate him.
What's the matter, Ramirez? You couldn't outrun this joker?
I like to give old timers a little break.
So what was going down at the Zodiac?
We heard that the fellas were doing business on Apostle Turf.
How'd you hear about this?
The Zodiac's manager. He told me that the kids were using the payphone to make drug deals. Also, we got a memo that the division was catching heat from all the gang activity going on down here.
Memo, that's nice. We can wave it at the citizens the next time they stone a patrol car.
We couldn't hear what they said, whose turf it was on. It was the fellas horning in on the Apostles' turf. So just to clarify something from earlier. So now we are at OCB, and Archie is being grilled by Crockett and Tubbs on how he's involved. He just keeps begging to be let go. He says all he was doing was work for the gang so he can get some money to buy some new football cleats because he wanted to impress some college scouts. Crockett and Tubbs ask him to work with them. Switek brings in a guy named McCain from the Overtown Outreach Project. He says Archie's grandmother works at one of his outreach locations, and he just wants to have a word with Crockett. While Crockett and McCain are discussing the unfortunate situation of Archie and how hard his life was, Castillo walks by with Atkins and says to Crockett, conference room. In the conference room, Castillo, Crockett, and Tubbs, and Atkins are discussing once again the gangs and how Archie plays into this, and how even if they did bust Archie and even Walker, he wouldn't get much time anyways, so he won't roll over on anybody. All the kids are onto this fact, but Castillo says they need Archie to take the package to Walker so they could bust him with possession.
And now Castillo wants to do what Crockett did to Noogie back in the first season, put him in the
play. Exactly. Yes, he sure does.
So now Crockett and Tubbs and Archie are in, I don't want to say projects, but basically rundown housing area. And then they give him this package that he has to finish delivering to Walker. Don't try to take off because they essentially got him surrounded, and they do. Nearby, Gina and Trudy are sitting in surveillance. All the while, some degenerate comes up and attempting to relieve himself on the car. Trudy pretty much scoots him off to the trees. And here you go. Point it in the better direction here, Slick. Archie goes up to this house, and some of the gang members tell him to go back to the alley. You know, they're going to have someone else check out the goods. They don't want to do it pretty much out in the open, which makes sense. So Archie's in the alley with one of the gang members check out the goods when Crockett and Tubbs are wondering what's going on. They come up and wonder what Archie's doing. Archie says, watch out. You know, it's a pretty quick scene here. Archie says, watch out. And the guy, the other gang member, pulls a gun on Crockett and Tubbs. Archie then pushes this guy away. And then Crockett and Tubbs open fire on the gang member. And he's hit. Ruts of Metro pulls in. They start busting people left and right. Ambulance crew wheels someone they have on a stretcher with an auto compression machine on their chest. Take a quick look at it. It's pretty cool. Ride CPR. Inside, we see someone dead from an overdose. Crockett and Tubbs were talking to Archie in the back of a squad car, I think it was. Tell him he did a good job back there. go home, get some rest, get some sleep.
So you sure you don't want to go to the hospital, huh?
Nah, it's just a bruise. I'm all right.
You did a stand-up job back there, dude. It was good.
Good enough to make up for last night.
I'll see what I can do. Prosecutor's on his way over here now.
Good. Got practice today.
So why don't you go home and get some rest, champ?
Okay.
And now, still inside the apartment here, Atkins is there with the DA Pepin, which I think is odd. What's the DA doing there? And then Crockett and Tubbs, they all walk out discussing and cutting a deal for Archie because of what he did here. And the DA says, okay, he can't do much with him anyways. So they follow him downtown to the office, see what he has in mind.
Well, now we're downtown and the DA is questioning one of the chumps. He's telling him he's going to go down on behalf of the big guy, meaning Count Walker, if he doesn't essentially play along with the investigation. This guy says that being a man is handling what you have to handle, otherwise you get handled, and he ain't no boy. Pepin, Crockett, and Tubbs, and Atkins are in the hallway discussing this case, and Crockett is saying they can't go to the arraignment to see this Walker guy, as it will blow their cover, and essentially they're all too old to be seen with this guy anyway.
Walker's in the back of his limo here, bringing Jiv around his kingdom with a montage pretty much of his underlings selling the H, chasing and beating some obvious deadbeats. And this, all while he is slickly dressed, along with another one of his little goon toadies there. Some scenes here show the neighborhood disgusted with him. Other scenes show kids admiring him as one of his thugs is throwing cash in the air. You know, make it rain type of thing. This all culminates in a Parkside meeting with Crockett and Tubbs discussing his dealings, as obviously they're undercover here, obviously. They try to team up with
Cooper again.
Right. They try to team up with him. You know, hey, let us work with you. We could get you bigger deals, spread your empire out. And he doesn't really take the bait here. He leaves them by saying that this place is like the jungle, nothing but plants, and plants need the sunshine, and he's got the sunshine they need.
Count, my man. Look, we want to talk to you about a little business.
Why you want to talk business? I'm no businessman. I'm a ladies' man.
Hey, come on, Count. We know you're selling tar to half the high schools in the city, man. Cutting the prices in half. There's people sitting on some serious border. They can't even move.
Supposing I was. Supposing I had junior high, elementary, all lined up. So what? Well, we was hoping maybe you'd sell us a little piece of your action. That way we could help you expand, make you some more of that good green money. Nobody gets hurt, everybody's happy.
Shoot, I'm already happy. See, it's like a jungle out here, full of plants. Plants need sunshine, and I've got the best sunshine there is.
All right, so now we move on to Archie's house, and Crockett arrives there, and he and McCain talk about the shootout Archie was in. Crockett says he pulled his weight, and he says Archie's going to get a full walk, and McCain's pleased, and they start lamenting about how McCain was on the streets for 6 years and crawled out of it. He definitely was not too pleased, though, that Archie was in the middle of some shootout. Crockett talks with Archie and gives him an envelope of cash for the shoes. He also gives him a gift of a football, and then he starts talking about Crockett's football career and him wishing Archie just stays with football. And then Archie invites him to his next game.
Our next scene here, Crockett and Tubbs, they're driving in their Ferrari here and talking about how the juvenile arrangement they're going to. And Crockett explains how fun it is, and they give out goodies pretty much to all the kids, you know, pretty much slap on the wrists. Sounds like Cook County. They get a phone call from Pepin discussing the case and wanting to try the main kid Walker as an adult. Crockett doesn't really want to go into court and insists on getting Walker their way, ensuring a good bust. So now Crockett and Tubbs here are at lunch and they're visited by the undercover gang agent Ramirez. And he says, don't turn around. I've got information for you. He gives them information on the rival gang that he's hanging with. They want to make a bomb and deal with Walker their own way. And he gives them the details.
Don't turn around. Oh, Joe J, mamacita, to go.
I don't know the plan yet. The apostles are making a gasoline bomb and it's got Walker's name on it.
You think we can buy ourselves a little gratitude if we tip Count Walker?
You got it. Put a loose tail on me and I'll fill you in as soon as I get the details.
So now immediately after this, Ramirez leaves. Crockett turns around and sees him getting into the gang member's car here. But in the distance, he sees a glint off the bridge nearby, and he sees that it's a sharpshooter who shoots the car that Ramirez gets into with a grenade launcher. Kaboom, blows up, and some guy in a nearby truck here is running around all in flames. Tubbs is kind of, I think the glass got blown out of the diner here. I'm not certain. But Tubbs is down for the count, you know, kind of knocked out there. Crockett rushes out to help. Tubbs is still shaken up inside the diner. And then obviously, you know, quite a few moments later, rescue ambulance and the PD and FD's on the scene dealing with this. Atkins shows up asking about Ramirez, and Tubbs tells him he's at the hospital. He's not in good shape at all. And he offers to drive Atkins to the hospital. Meanwhile, Crockett, still on the scene here, takes a phone call in his car from McCain, who says that Archie's been arrested. And Crockett's like, what? Okay. And he says, you know, he'll meet him wherever he's at to deal with this.
So now at a high school, presumably Archie's, the PD and people are confronting each other. A news reporter is discussing the car explosion and an ice cream truck driver by the name of Meisner. Meanwhile, they're in one of the rooms in the school. Archie is sitting listening to Pepin give him instructions on how to wear a wire. When Crockett walks in wondering what's going on, Pepin explains how if Archie gets Walker saying something implicating himself, he'll then be charged with murder and everything will be fine. Crockett retorts and saying that Walker isn't going to talk to anybody about anything.
I find it, again, odd that the DA here is doing any talking with any witness or suspects or setting up any type of undercover stinger operation and the like. I mean, you're on the scene. DAs don't, as far as I know, they don't do that. They don't come in here and make their own deals and start getting their plan into action with nobody else going in the mesh of things, you know. It's just really, really weird that he's doing this.
He wants to take the big fish in the sea down. That's why. So anyway, Pepin and Crockett are going back and forth because the DA wants to renege on the deal that he gave Archie to get Walker.
Let me ask you something. Where do you get off trying to get this kid to wear a wire?
Listen, I'm not making him do anything. He wanted a choice. It's either this or we take him in on a trafficking bust.
What trafficking bust?
You took him down with 12 grams, remember?
That case is history.
Walker's prints were on all the packages we found in the trunk. Listen, I can pick Walker up right now on conspiracy if I charge Ellis with trafficking.
I don't give a damn if his autograph was on him. You gave this kid a free walk.
Then I'm taking it back.
Let me tell you something, pal. You're not going to jack him up just because you want to take a million to one shot at a murder one rap on Walker.
What I want is Walker off the street. Now, if you don't want the kid to wear a wire, fine. I'll take him in on trafficking, and I get Walker on the conspiracy.
Hey, man, you said it was my choice.
Hold on.
Pretty tense. Reneging himself there? Wow.
Yep, Pepin sure did.
Pepin and Crockett excuse themselves from this area, and they mince words outside in the hall about how to go about getting Walker without putting Archie in the mix. It's really tense here. He's really nearly coming to blows with Crockett barking at Pepin. All of a sudden, Castillo walks in. Pepin's barking at Castillo. Wrong thing to do. Seeing that he wants to talk to him. And I notice Castillo doing a quick curtain is saying, not until I talk to my detective. Castillo and Crockett walk away. They've got a brief discussion going on about how to go about doing this, moving up the chain of command, getting this taken care of. And Crockett asks if doing that's going to work. And Castillo pretty much says, nope. So anyway, Pepin walks downstairs, still in the school here, where this whole scene is still in the school. Pepin comes downstairs and orders police to search some lockers before they lose crowd control. And again, who the hell is a DA ordering police what to do? That just don't happen. I don't think anywhere. Anyway, no. Castillo's there, and right away we get a Castillo stare. Been a while.
Classic stare.
And I really can't quite tell what Castillo says. Something along the lines of, go ahead, Jakes, I won't sign the papers. Something like that. I have no idea. It was really quick and kind of mumbled.
He's doing his Castillo mumble.
Yeah. So anyway, still at the school here, McCain is now there talking with Archie and Crockett. McCain is strongly encouraging Archie not to wear the wire, and kind of Crockett is as well. But McCain's really sticking it to Crockett, saying that the cops pretty much are going to hold it over your head, and if you do this, you lose your soul. Archie's saying that The scholarship that he has for football is all his, and he earned it, and it doesn't matter what McCain thinks. McCain leaves, and now Crockett's here talking to Archie, saying that since the DA's pulling the rug out from under both of them, which is true, Crockett's going to say that he forced Archie to open the trunk, thus rendering the drugs and the arrest of Archie in the beginning to be tossed out. So this whole thing, Archie is free and clear, no longer in the picture. Archie says he can't let Crockett lie about the first bust, but then Crockett says nobody forced you to save them two in the alley when they were getting shot at, if you remember.
Pepin can change his deal, and I can change my testimony. I'll tell him I forced you to open the trunk. That'll make it a bad search. Which means the evidence is worthless. They won't be able to make the arrest.
Can't do that.
Archie, we got specialists investigating that explosion. We'll find another way to get Walker.
It ain't him I'm thinking about. I can't have you lying for me. Nobody forced me to drive that car.
Nobody forced you to save me and my partner in an alley either. Or to take my word that I'd get you a deal.
So, still in the school here, McCain and now Pepin are going pretty much words to words about Archie working along. Almost fisticuffs, but it's basically words back and forth. Crockett comes out and separates them, and Archie comes out finally. Pepin says that Archie needs his grandmother's permission to wear this wire and work along, and they go to make a phone call. Tubbs and Atkins arrive to say that Ramirez passed away in surgery a while ago.
So now we're finally out of this school and back at OCB, and there's Switek, and if you noticed, we haven't seen Zito anywhere in this episode. So there's been several in a row that he's out for a couple, comes back, and now he's out again. Something's going on here. But there's Switek wiring up Archie. Crockett is telling Archie how and what he should be talking to Walker about. And then somewhere on the street side, Archie is talking with Walker at a table while one of Walker's goons wearing his Michael Jackson glove is standing guard near the limo. Switek is in the surveillance van with Pepin and Crockett, and Tubbs are in the Ferrari listening in on the wire. Walker likes what Archie is proposing and suggests that they go for a ride to discuss it. Crockett seems upset about this, and you also see other officers watching surveillance nearby, and everyone starts to follow the limo. Walker wants to take Archie to his place to show him all his smooth clothes while Crockett and Pepin are on the phone arguing with each other about Archie and about how all Pepin wants is to get a good soundbite or news clip. After Archie said something about the dope Luther that Luther had, Walker starts getting a little mad, saying that Archie's starting to act a little suspicious. Archie wants to then jump out of the car while it's moving. They grab him and they find out he's wearing a wire. Tubbs tells everybody to start moving in to cut off this car. They hear a shot over the wire. The limo is cornered. Walker jumps out saying, "It wasn't me, it wasn't me." And he was pointing to his other henchmen. The bad guys get taken down, and Crockett rushes into the limo to find Archie shot in the chest. Crockett then lashes out in anger after being silent for a few moments, obviously realizing that he let Archie into this in some way, that he's taking basically the blame for Archie's death.
After a few hours here, Crockett goes to Archie's house essentially to pay his respects to his family and McCain. McCain answers the door, but he says that he hopes he understands that they're going to deny him coming in. Archie's grandmother, who basically was the one raising him, comes to the door with the football that Crockett gave to Archie and just throws it on the ground and slams the door. Meanwhile, street side at the house here still, Ken pulls up, the gang lieutenant, in his car, and he says that there's no kids on the street whatsoever and that everybody wanted Walker taken down anyways and that it was a good collar nonetheless. He pulls away and Crockett stands there very dejected, takes the football and throws it into a garbage can.
I came to pay my respects.
You'll understand if I don't ask you in.
I've been cruising. There's not a gang kid on the streets. You know, no one in my unit wanted Walker more than Ramirez. Should be proud. He's a good collar, Crockett.
And I've got thoughts on the football that he threw away.
Are you gonna share them later?
Yep. I'll share them later in my review. Go for the
ratings. Right, now we're going to move on to the ratings for this episode. IMDb give this an 8.2. Mark, this was just another great episode. What starts out as Crockett and Tubbs busting a high school football star for delivery of drugs unbeknownst to Archie. As the storyline unravels, Archie was just trying to buy some new cleats and got hooked with Luther, one of Count Walker's boys, to do the deed. Archie denies knowing he would be delivering drugs, but he helps OCB to bust Luther. He gets a walk on his trafficking charges until ADA Pepin cancels the deal because he wants Walker. To me, the plot line was most intense with Archie and Walker's limo as OCB is following, always one step behind on that. You know, lots happen in this storyline. A cop getting killed, Archie dies, and Crockett gets his football stuffed back in his face by Archie's grandma. An underlying theme was about making and breaking promises, deals, and the like. To me, another thumbs up for Dick Wolf. Not sure if this is a rip from the headlines thing, but I'm sure somewhere drugs making its way into the high schools was some type of a big story during those days.
Tim, wow. This is a very good episode. Strong story, easy flow, great characters. Although this is kind of the typical good kid who brushed along the bad side just to make what he does, well, easier. Getting the money to buy some football cleats, you know, okay, it was kind of weak, but it played in. Most of Vice is here. Another absent Zito. We'll see a few episodes from now. Enough said on that. Castillo kills it with his stare down at Pepin in the school there. And again, I got to bring up, why is the DA doing detective work and talking alone with Archie and getting the wire to be worn and giving orders to officers and all this? In the end, Crockett was pretty much bought back to the end, just like in Milk Run when Eddie Rivers was gunned down, all while working with Vice. I was thinking maybe a good ending could have been Crockett wanting to toss the football in the garbage can, but then keeping it and maybe writing Archie's name on it and having it reoccur every now and then. Maybe when they want to get a witness to play, where Crockett would take a look at this football hanging on his shelf or something in OCB. I don't know. It could have been a long playing thing, but whatever. They just threw it away. Good, solid episode.
Yes, it was.
And let's cover the music here. First up, we have Condemned by One Way. That's playing on a boombox when Ellis takes the package to Luther. How Much Did You Get for Your Soul by The Pretenders. That's when Walker was in the hood. And Picture Book by Simply Red. That's the end sequence where Ellis is killed and Crockett faces his family.
And Mark, there was no Jan Hammer music that was listed for this episode. Now we're going to move on to the goofs, fun facts, and locations. Our first goof, right before Ramirez's car is blown up, Cables can be seen pulling the vehicle.
And our next goof here, the ice cream truck driver loses his hat when he's set on fire, but it's miraculously back on his head when Crockett smothers the flames.
And Mark, our first location is 227 First Street in Miami Beach, and that is the drug house and where they had the shooting in the alley where Archie saves Crockett and Tubbs.
And our last location here, we've got 11th Street and Ocean Court in Miami Beach. That's where Walker is arrested.
All right, let's go over the trivia portion of this episode. Last episode, we asked, in the strip club with Izzy, how much money does he say he makes and what musician's name does he isify? Let's take a listen.
Now we know why.
It's not merely blame. I'm reviving a neglected art form. Besides, I'm making $10 an hour. Pedro Townsend!
Pedro Townsend.
Izzy's great.
Izzy. And this show's trivia question is, what room were Crockett, McCain, and Archie in when they were discussing whether or not Archie should wear a wire? You can post your answers on this episode's Facebook or Instagram post, or you can email us at mammyvice@duck.com.
We've arrived at Snerd's Chalkboard of Wisdom, where we hope to inspire, enlighten, or make you snicker a little. In both the world of Miami Vice and our current world at large, we encounter many challenges we work to overcome. In the interest of creating a family-friendly atmosphere through the show and on our social media, we would like to offer some parting thoughts, a simple quote, phrase, or words of encouragement, or a funny quip to you, our listeners, because without you, our friends, we'd just be talking ourselves. And we say friends because that's what we consider all of you who follow our show and social media. This episode's quote is, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. Thomas A. Edison. We encourage everyone listening to be a positive force, not only in your life, but others as well. It's contagious and can make our world a better place.
And before we wrap up here, I just want to share a quick email we got a little bit ago from a listener. And this is from Marty G. I don't want to give last names, keep people private here. Marty G. I believe he's a truck driver. And he says, hey guys, just wanted to reach out and let you know I found and really enjoy your podcast. Clearly, you both put a lot of work into it in the shows. He found Miami Vice. He found our show, Vice of Miami, while binge-watching season two. So he's a little ahead for the podcast episode. He's a truck driver out of Kenosha, so he's got a great opportunity to listen. Thanks for the hard work you both do. And that's from Marty G. out of Kenosha. Hey, Marty, do you get the P-Card discount at the Mars Cheese Castle?
Just asking.
Thanks again, Marty. Appreciate it. Hey, and if you want to send us a quick email, a quick note, please do that. We'll share it here, and we appreciate it. And that's a wrap for today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining us on this review. We hope you found this episode exciting and entertaining. If you enjoyed it, please consider subscribing to the podcast and following us on our social media channels to stay updated on our latest episodes and fun content. On Facebook, Instagram, and the YouTubes, we are Vice of Miami Podcast. Your support means everything to us, and if you got a spare moment, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a rating and a review on those channels. It helps us reach more listeners and continues helping us produce great content. Thanks again for listening, and we can't wait to share more with you soon. We'll catch you next time on the Vice of Miami Podcast on show 55, covering episode 6, Shadow in the Dark. Now...
Faded punks.